The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Booker Tom, I didn't think that we were going to be having a hand-washing chuk today, but I have to tell you that I'm a little bit with Karen on this. I thought that the whole idea of the 20 seconds is not only about only the soap, but I think it's also about the water thing, isn't it? Of course, it goes very much against our instincts here in Israel, where we are raised with this whole water-saving concept. But I think it's supposed to be with the tap running, isn't it? I don't know.
I thought not. No, yes, the tap's meant to run, but not your hand under, not your hand under it, because then you're washing the soap off.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know. If you guys have if you get a good answer to this, Howard, I hope you let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Yes, we will definitely.
But I wanted to actually talk about the Kinneret and water. We talk about water and things. I wanted to talk about the Kinneret just for a moment before we get on to the really hectic stuff, because officially now the lifeguard stations, 13 lifeguard huts all in all, have actually been physically moved back from the beach along the shore of the Kinneret as a result of the water levels having risen so much over the last winter. Apparently the water levels have risen 2.25 meters since the beginning of the winter. There is only another 73.5 centimeters left until we reach the upper red line, which is the moment that the Kinneret is full. And there were predictions that this would happen soon. Now people are not so sure if it's going to happen at all. And there is rain predicted over the next few days. And some people are suggesting that it may be enough to fill the Kinneret up completely. But even if it doesn't, it's been an unbelievably wet winter with a lot of damage and unfortunately loss of life along the way as well. But the good news is, of course, that our water resources are filled up. Those lifeguard huts have had to be moved back up the beach. In fact, one of the beaches, Shikmin Beach, actually has been temporarily closed as a result of the water levels coming up so high. So good news where that's concerned. I think we've pretty much got to the end of the rainy season now, except for the next few days. I think we're probably expecting that to be it as far as the rainy season is concerned. I think at least we have our water resources back. It doesn't mean, I suppose, that we've got to run the taps all day and all night while washing our hands. But at least we do have a full Kinneret, which is really good news. And somehow the mood of the people seems to be linked to the water level in the Kinneret. I don't know how to explain this to you, but there is definitely a something that affects the mood of the people as a result of the water levels rising there.
Yeah, I get that. Not unsigned. It says, I've got this message that says, Howard, what is water? Bryanston. Oh dear. So I think Bryanston having a very, very difficult time with the water supply here in South Africa. All right. Gatherings in Israel have been limited to 100 people or less as the numbers of corona victims approach 100. Now, what does this mean for schools, for synagogues, shuls, mosques, churches, etc.? Because 100 people is not that
it's not
many.
It's not much, is it?
No. No, it's an average Friday night in our house.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd have to limit those going forward if you were living here. The truth of the matter is that it's very, very unclear. Schools are due to return back today after the Purim holiday. There was a feeling that the government may well extend the holiday and not allow children to go back to school. Of course, the economic impact of children not being at school is quite substantial. It means a lot of parents need to stay home to look after the children. And it creates a lot of angry parents because obviously they're unable to conduct their daily lives. On the other hand, we do have now an official pandemic, according to the World Health Organization, which we're having to deal with. And it seems crazy that on the one hand, the government has limited gatherings to less than 100. On the other hand, they're saying school is continuing as usual. I think the notion is that classes are less than 100 people, which of course they are, but what happens when kids go into the playground, when they go into assemblies and things like that? I'm not exactly sure how each school is going to be handling this. What I do know is that universities, for example, have sent out notifications saying that all lectures that involve less than 100 students will be continuing as usual. obviously the counter side to that is that any lectures that include more than 100 students will no longer continue, and there will be a move to online learning facilities for those students instead of the lectures in order to try to accommodate this new restriction that the government has placed. What it means for gatherings at the kotel, for example, what it means for gatherings at shuls and at bar mitzvahs and at other functions is very, very difficult for me to understand. I don't know how the Feldman family are going to cope with the influx on Friday night. And, you know, have tickets at the door. Are you number 79? Are you number 99? 101, you're out.
It's a very, very scary thing, because the reality is, and we were talking about it earlier, whereas we have phenomenal healthcare, our NRCD, very, very organized, our Netcare, the hospitals very, very organized in South Africa, companies taking it seriously. What is not happening yet is we've had very little instruction and guidance from government. Travel has continued as usual, no ban or no recommendations around conferences and conventions. And to some extent, that means that we've got to look to ourselves and say, all right, what is my own rule? What is our personal family rule around these things? And to some extent, guidance, we can look to Israel for guidance, because they're taking it very, very seriously. They have taken it seriously from the beginning, amid much criticism, in fact. But right. I believe certainly the right way, Israel has handled this the right way. And we should be looking to that as a way maybe of saying, okay, if I apply those rules to myself and to my family, and to the company that I work with, you know, or company, you know, whichever, however that is, then maybe that is a sensible way to do it and say, okay, I'm not going to be in an environment from now on until this is settled of more than 100 people, etc. And but it's not easy. It's easier if government gives you that guidance. We don't have it here in South Africa, so I think Israelis should be very grateful that they're being looked after. Like,
the guidance that's been given is, I think, quite sensible in some respects. And what the Prime Minister has said is that if you are in your 20s and if you are in your 30s, and maybe even if you're closer to Howard's age and my age, you know, you might get ill, but you will recover. Everything will be okay. What we have to focus on is trying to avoid allowing older people or people who are slightly weaker with pre-existing illnesses, we have to try and avoid them contracting the virus. So we don't necessarily have to be concerned about ourselves, because by and large, people who get the virus recover. The issue is allowing those weaker members of our society to be protected. So that's what we've really got to focus on. That's what we've got to think about. We don't want to go and visit our grandparents. We don't want to be carriers of the virus in order to potentially affect other people. So, I mean, if you're showing signs of, any coughing, or if you're showing signs of any illness, even if you're not showing corona signs, because the corona signs are a temperature and a cough and respiratory issues. If you are feeling a little unwell but not showing those signs, the message is stay home. Don't go out. Don't weaken other people in the society. If you're going to cough, if you're going to sneeze, cough or sneeze into a tissue. Don't spread it all out. And if everybody, you know, concerns themselves with their own health, keep your hands clean and things like that, obviously, then you are less likely to spread it. And we've got to think about ourselves as channels of spreading the virus rather than potentially being victims ourselves. And if we think about it like that, and everybody thinks about trying to avoid spreading it, I think we'll probably get somewhere.
I couldn't agree more. And that's such an important lesson for us here in South Africa. Tell us about Benjamin Netanyahu and the trial.
Well, he tried to get his trial date postponed. As we know, he's due to go to trial next week on the 17th of March. It's expected that there will be some pre-trial hearings, that there won't be anything of real substance coming forward, at least in the early days of that trial when it begins next week. But he already submitted an application to the court to request that the trial may be postponed. Nothing to do with the politics on the ground, nothing to do with his work that he still continues to do as Prime Minister, but all to do with technical issues. His defense team claimed that they didn't receive certain documents that would allow them to prepare their case, that there's been a failure to provide evidentiary material to them, and as a result of that, they applied to the court for the court to postpone the hearing date. The court rejected that, so the case will begin as planned on the 17th of March. And as I've said before, I don't think that there's going to be too much substance to those early days of the trial, and it's not exactly clear how long the trial will take. What we do understand is that over 300 witnesses have been named in the indictment. It is expected that that witness list will be substantially reduced once the trial begins, and, you know, a certain slimmed down list of witnesses will be called, at least by the prosecution team. It's not clear how many witnesses the defense team plans to call, but at least for now, the judges on the court, on the bench of the Jerusalem District Court have said no to any delays to the beginning of the trial. And of course, as we expected, this becomes very much mixed up now with attempts to form a government while the prime minister is on trial. It's all very, very messy and really something that we could do without, given all the other issues that are going on, the corona issues and the attempts to form a government. You know, the corona, to be honest with you, is an issue that's becoming highly, highly politicized, because in the Palestinian Authority area, there's been quite a significant breakout. More than 30, 40 victims have been identified. There were tourists who were trapped there. The Israeli government cooperated with the Palestinian Authority to get the tourists out of Bethlehem. Bethlehem has almost been shut down. There have been reports of quite a significant corona outbreak within Hezbollah senior activists, while on the Gaza side, we understand that Gaza is practically corona free at the moment. So you know, there's obviously a lot of intelligence being gathered about the state of health of the various borders. Jordan, for example, has completely closed its borders off to try to prevent any further spread there. There have been quite a number of victims in Jordan. So the Prime Minister is having to deal with all of these issues, the security of the country, the impact of the illness on Israel's enemies along Israel's borders, and of course having to go to court next week. I'm not sure that that's the best thing that we would have wanted for the leader of our country when he's having to deal with these issues. And of course, the economic fallout, there's massive economic fallout. El Al announced, for example, that they're going to be putting 80% of their staff on unpaid leave. That's not an insubstantial economic impact amongst others. I mean, that's just one sign of the economic impact that this is having. The government has announced special grants and special loans, special budget that's been set aside to help people to try and obviously fight the virus itself. The Prime Minister's got a lot on his plate. Unfortunately for us, he will be going to court next week. And while we think that the delay would not have been helpful, and that the delay doesn't need to happen, in other words, that if the Prime Minister's in a legal process, he needs to really go through the process like every other Israeli citizen would have to go through, the timing of the whole thing is really very poor. Although I don't know if there would be a good time, really.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, I would think that these are almost warlike situations. Coronavirus is, I think, put the government onto a war footing. And I think you need a leader. You need a prime minister who is focused on dealing with it and not worrying about his court appearance.
I couldn't agree with you more. I would make a general comment and say, as a general rule, you know, Israel needs a prime minister who's a full-time prime minister who's very much focused on the issues. Even if corona wasn't here, you know, Israel's got its fair share of things that it's having to deal with on a daily basis. So having a prime minister going through a court process right now or at any time is very much undesirable. It is what it is. We will be, of course, watching next week quite closely to see what transpires. But I don't think we're going to expect any great revelations from the early days of this court case in any event.
Anthony Reich, this is where we love and leave you. We'll speak to you on Monday morning. Crazy the times we're living in. I think the situation will have changed and evolved quite dramatically by then. It's crazy that it's only 4 days away. But I know that Monday things will have evolved in a very, very different way. Stay safe, stay healthy, have a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday.